This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. You got to listen to this stat, guys. This is amazing. I can't even believe it. So this is with runners in scoring position. The Yankee batting average this year with runners in scoring position is .212. That's 28th in baseball. Only Pittsburgh and Milwaukee have lower batting averages. From 2017 through 2020, they had a .268 batting average in those situations. That's 7th best in the big leagues. Scoring from third base with less than two outs in those previous years, 52.2%, 6th in big league baseball. This year, 43%, 27th. And how about this one? Percentage of base runners scored from 17 to 20, 15.4%, 5th best in baseball. You know what it is this year? 11.5% of the runners score. That's 30% in baseball. If they continue at a .212 batting average with runners in scoring position, it would be lower than any team in a 162-game season since the 1969 expansion San Diego Padres at .201.
Wow.
In their last 24 games, they're hitting .140 with runners in scoring position. That's 30th. And this gets you a little nervous. So the last 13 games, they're actually in the top 10 in offensive categories. But the team is 7-6 because they've allowed 5 or more runs in 9 of those 13 games after allowing 5 or more in only 9 of the previous 27. So that's what worries you when a team can't match up pitching and hitting. So when you look at their record at 38-34, maybe you should be happy that they've kept their head above water and that if they do go off on a run, they go off on a run from a decent position and not 10 games under. You know what I'm saying, Don? That's the only way you could really look at it.
But it's not like in years past where, yeah, they've had void out, right? But for the most part, they are what they are, right? I mean, you've had a healthy Judge really for the first time since his rookie year. So what's going to happen? You know, Sanchez has been hot over the last 20 games. What's their record over the last 20 games?
I don't have it here.
You know, it's got to be above .500. They've actually played pretty well recently. But just to find some level of consistency in when you hit the home runs and when you get the big hit.
It's tough stuff. It really is. It's tough stuff. We're waiting on Jeff Passan. He needed a couple minutes. Probably working on a big story that he wants to break right here on the air. Wouldn't that be great?
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That would be tremendous, I think. Really
wonder
tremendous.
Wonder what it would be.
Well, that's the beauty of it. You don't know because it's breaking.
Could just be passing gas, though, you know?
I don't know. That's not him.
Passing gas.
Oh, I get it, but that's not him.
No.
Let's go to the great man, Jeff Passan.
There he is.
Jeff, we waited a couple of minutes, so I figure you're going to break a big story on the air. What do you got?
How are you, Michael? How are you, Peter?
Hey.
We're all wonderful.
You anti-Don now?
I'm with you. Not anti-Don. I heard Don forgot about me earlier this week.
Yeah, it was just
wow, you hear everything,
it was a senior moment. It wasn't like you're not significant.
I know your hair is gray, but you're not that old.
No, but something about this show. You listen all the time. A lot of things are said that are unexplained.
I wasn't listening. I have spies. How about that?
Right.
Or listeners, one or the other.
I mean, Peter's 10 years younger than me, and he was talking about penalties of helmet.
That's
twice he said it. He had Derrick Henry playing for two different teams who were playing each other. This, I think it's the show. I think the show ages you. It devalues your brain.
Yeah,
I mean, Michael's the single most intelligent person I know, and some of the things that come out of his mouth are ridiculous.
I want you to hear something, Jeff. This happened earlier the week. You ready? Here's Peter. Here we go.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
Yeah, that happened on this show.
Another genuine laugh, Peter, from somewhere.
It's never not genuine. It's always a real belly laugh when anyone hears it.
Because no one can believe that somebody could actually be on the air in New York and say that. So it is funny.
Well, listen, since I just made a fool of myself, I'm going to jump right in. Jeff, what's going on with this madness? What is this league doing? Last night, Girardi calling out Scherzer after he's already been checked twice. I mean, is this going to get messier before it gets better?
I hope not, but I never underestimate baseball's ability to shoot itself in its own foot. What happened last night, I think, is squarely on Joe Girardi. And look, it was just not the right thing to do there. I mean, guys right now are trying to figure out how to pitch without this stuff, right? I'm not saying Max Scherzer was going and throwing spider tack on his hand and is a great pitcher because of it. Just the same way that I said Garrett Cole is not a great pitcher because of this stuff. Garrett Cole is a great pitcher because he's a great pitcher. Max Scherzer is a great pitcher because he's a great pitcher. And if he's going to his hair to get a little bit of moisture to combine with rosin to get some kind of stick, you don't blame him for that. I think if there's any blame to be put around, it's for the instantaneous implementation of this and for the lack of options that players have been presented. They're doing everything they can out there to try and hold the baseball and be good and compete. And if two checks didn't find something, the third ain't going to find it. Like, I'm sorry to say, the umpires here are in a pretty perilous position right now because they have to go out there, and they don't want to be doing it like that. They don't want to be angering guys. I mean, Max Scherzer, you know, the first time just sort of rolling his eyes, fine. The second time, okay, that's part of the rules. But unless there is something truly actionable that you see a player doing, a manager going out and doing that when there are already checks in place just seems excessive, silly, gamesmanship, the kind of stuff that the rules say managers should not be doing. Like, that is written in the memo that was distributed to everyone. And so for Joe Girardi to think that he can get into Max Scherzer's head, like, Max Scherzer might be the most mentally strong pitcher there is in baseball. And it was an unfortunate look, and I hope it doesn't happen again. I hope that, you know, just as players, I think, a lot of ways have been scared straight away from substances, I hope managers get scared straight from doing this sort of thing that makes the game look bad.
Well, why would you allow managers then to have this in their holster? I know that's what's written, but a manager could challenge and could have gamesmanship in this. Why don't you have a penalty if they do check and, in fact, there's nothing there? The manager either gets thrown out of the game or, as Clayton Kershaw said, they lose a challenge. Why would you allow a manager to have that option to do it and try to get into maybe a weaker player's head?
Yeah, I mean, that is written into the rules. They say managers are subject to discipline if they're seen to have been doing this as a matter of gamesmanship. Okay. Is Major League Baseball going to penalize Joe Girardi for it? I doubt it. Has Joe Girardi been talked to? Yes.
Yeah. See, that's the classic baseball rules with no punishment, right? So if nothing's going to happen to the manager, then why not try it? So he gets scolded by the league in a letter or something. But if,
let's put it this way. I've heard from other managers, Don, that said, what's Girardi doing?
Right.
Like that. I think there are other managers out there, and I can't speak for all 30 by any means, but at least a couple that I've heard from would not be doing something like that. But if they're going to do it, they better see something that is clear before they go out and say, you know, it's like the Michael Pineda thing. Like, if you have a giant dab of pine tar on your neck, yeah, call him out for that. But because he's going to his hair, I don't see it. I'm sorry.
But like Michael said, and I didn't even realize this, that, like, David Cohn during the broadcast can go to a website and see what somebody's spin rate is in almost real time. So can't you just have something in place where, all right, this guy's spin rate is unusually high, I, as the manager, am going to challenge. If you challenge him and he doesn't have any sticky stuff, well, then you lose your challenge or something. Like, it'll make it part of the game instead of just, you know, having guys have to walk off and have what happened with Scherzer and Romo. Was Romo immature? Sure. But they're still in those circumstances because it just seems like you've brought – a knife to a gunfight almost. Or the analogy I used, it like you've got a bucket of water trying to stop the towering inferno. The thing is so out of hand, and the way you're doing it is just way too clunky.
I would not be against that. I haven't thought that specific thing through. And, you know, I always wonder the unintended consequences of situations like that. But, yeah, I would be for that. I don't think that's a bad idea. There's got to be some restrictor plate there against managers abusing this. And I think, honestly, the criticism that Joe Girardi has gotten over the last 24 hours may be that. I think there's maybe one of those things that had to happen once, and you see how foolish it is, and it works itself out. The point you bring up about spin rate, though, is a good one, because I was talking to the general manager last week before this was implemented, and he was saying, we're going to be following this stuff, and if we see a change, if we see a spike, we will let our people know, and then they can go and challenge it.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Here's what I don't get. I understand why, because the offense had disappeared for 2 months. I get this. I don't like the fact that they're doing it in the middle of the season. But, Jeff, it's such a bad look for baseball. Checking Jacob DeGrom, who has never, ever had any suspicion toward him. He doesn't even have high spin rates. I mean, you're going to check every single person. Is there any way the two sides could get together and do something that's less offensive or, as you said, shooting them in the foot than what they're doing? Yesterday was not a good day for baseball. I love baseball. I thought the entire day was a joke and an embarrassment.
Well, let me come back to your question and answer it with a question. I don't like doing that, but what's the alternative? If you have come out and said, because what we have to deal with now is what has happened before. You know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. So it's out there now that they're going to try and enforce this rule. How do you do so without checking guys?
It's a hard
thing to do when you've committed already.
Well, let me throw this at you. So Major League Baseball has a lot of money. And one of our listeners actually brought this up earlier. You can't have a compliance officer in the dugout checking them, so it's not in full view of everybody. You don't have Sergio Romo pulling his pants down. The whole thing was a carnival act. It made it look like a rinky-dinky minor league situation. You can do it without out of the eyesight of people, but maybe that's their whole idea because they don't mind embarrassing their stars. Embarrassing Jacob DeGrom, to me, is embarrassing the sport.
So let me take you back to a personal incident 35 years ago. I was in arguably the worst first grade class of all time.
Picture.
My class was just full of, the kids were just terrible. It was a first year teacher. Honest to God, the teacher quit teaching after the first year. That's how bad my class was.
So this is the video hot for teacher. Like they're just off the
board. I was the only kid. That's exactly right. I was the only kid in class who the teacher thought was like a decent kid. And the teacher made me, because what would happen is we would all go to the bathroom at the same time, right? And the kids in my class would walk back about 10 feet from the urinals and do like giant streams of pee into the urinals. And then one kid in particular would go sliding underneath them.
You know, that's exactly what Peter does now.
Yeah.
I was named the bathroom monitor, and I had to go make sure that kids were acting okay in the bathroom. You're telling me if Max Scherzer or Garrett Cole has to go to the bathroom, this compliance officer is going to need to go in with them just to make sure that they don't have some sort of sticky stuff like hidden in the rafters or something like that, that they're going to, I just don't think that's a realistic way of going about it. I think putting it on the umpires isn't the worst thing because the umpires want to be involved. They look at themselves as stewards of the game and of the rules in particular. And the checking in between innings, in reality, this is just something guys are going to get used to. Like they got used to not running over the catcher. Like they got used to not breaking up double plays, in an Albert Bell sort of way. It's something that's annoying the first time through, will be annoying the second time through, and the third time it's just going to become part of the game.
But I get what you're saying that, yeah, what else could you do? But the real answer is that this all could have been done before the season started, right? I mean, so
once that happened,
there was nothing else to do.
That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a half decade of complete inaction followed by an overcorrection. That's what this is. This is trying to make up for the errors that were made in the past by doing too much right now. Simple as that.
Yeah, I hear everything you're saying, and I don't know if there's any perfect answer, but Jeff, I know that you're not covering and doing the job you do unless you love the game, and I didn't feel pride in the game yesterday at all. I just think they're shooting themselves in the foot. They embarrass the sport. There's got to be better ways, and I know you're asking me what's the better way. That's above my pay grade. It's got to be better than checking people in foul territory after every inning. It's got to be. Why would they check Jonathan Loaisiga after he gave up four runs in the eighth inning? Even if he had sticky stuff, guess what? It didn't work.
But what's the line of demarcation?
Common sense. Common sense, Jeff. Common sense. So the umpires that are back at the central headquarters that do the replays, they all can see what David Cohn sees in our broadcast booth. If there's a spike in spin rate during the inning, then you check the guy. Send a message to the umpire and check the guy then. But to check every single person, even if they're ineffective, that's silly.
Can I make a suggestion, Michael?
Okay, please.
What do you think about fully nude baseball? Ratings through the roof. Complete transparency, Michael.
That's what I deal with. That's what I deal with, Jeff.
There's definitely a precedent for that. Back when the Minnesota Twins were really good, back in like the Torrey Hunter days, when Torrey Hunter or Mike Redmond was especially known for this, when he was in a slump, he would go take naked BP. Just inside the tunnel, just to give everyone a lap, loosen things up, and
try and
make things better. So, could happen.
Could happen.
You know, the byproduct of the negativity is Manfred. I mean, when you see the social media, and he gets blamed for everything, but he keeps his job because he makes money for the owners. That's what they judge it on. But is there any kind of momentum building towards where he could be collateral damage or change can be made if things continue to go sideways on a lot of the things that have happened over the last couple of years?
I mean, there's always the possibility that he loses his job, sure. But I have not heard, me personally, I have not heard anything to lead me to believe that Rob Manfred's job is in any sort of danger right now. I will say this, though. I mean, a lot of people were like, I hope this thing rolls out and is good, because if not, it's just another ding on Rob Manfred. And, you know, I wrote a big story today on labor and the situation there. And after last year was an ugly look for all of baseball. The fact that they played only 60 games when I think most people thought that they could have and should have played more, it did not reflect well on baseball as a sport writ large.
All right, before I let you go, so if you're like 2 minutes late, because you're very prompt, I mean, you're almost anal about it. I know you're not going to break news on this show. You're going to probably break it on the website or on TV. Do you have something hot cooking? Do you have something big that you're working on?
The nudes are back.
I do. My son is going to camp tomorrow, and I'm packing. And you guys know what packing is like for a long trip. So I typically manage my time well in this situation. It was poor time management. I apologize, guys.
We're not blaming you for that at all. Is it sleepaway camp?
7 weeks of camp. That is correct.
Is this the first time he's been away?
Oh, no, he's been away.
Why would you send your child away for 7 weeks and rob him of 7 weeks with you that he'll never get back?
Why would I not send my child away? Are you kidding?
Because you're a wonderful dad. You're a wonderful dad, and you can impart wisdom to him that the campers can't.
The things you, Michael, did you go to camp?
No. I did not. Couldn't afford it.
Yep. There, I knew that was coming.
Peter, you're a Jew. You went to camp. You know
I did.
Like.
I went to Jew camp. I went to Jew camp for 2 weeks.
You did.
Cried the whole time and came home. But I know it well. My niece goes to camp now. My brother went to Jew camp. Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's just what we do.
I went to camp for 5 years. My best friend in the world to this day is from camp. And
what camp did you go to?
Experience, and I went to Racket Lake.
Was it a Jewish camp or no?
I mean,
it was de facto Jewish camp.
Camp that isn't.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Exactly.
It was right.
It wasn't. It wasn't a Jewish camp, but it was a Jew camp.
Now, did you ever hear the Larry David story? So Larry David went to camp, and there was a guy that just annoyed him. He hated his guts, hated him. And, we fast forward 40 years later, and he's talking with Richard Lewis, who's one of his best friends. And Richard Lewis said, I went to this camp, whatever, whatever. And Larry goes, I went there too. And Richard Lewis was the guy that Larry David hated in camp 40 years before. And then they became best friends.
But it's such a weird story because they became friends not that long after camp.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
How did they not know? How do you dislike someone enough where, like, the kid who I went to camp with, who I hated, I still remember it very clearly, his name and everything about him. He was the worst.
We're going to need his name.
I can't do that.
Just one name. Give us the first name.
His name is Dave.
All right. I think that's it. Rothenberg?
I definitely understand it then.
Yeah.
No, it was not. Actually, I don't think he was a Jew. So there you go.
I'm glad. I'm glad for that, actually. There you go.
Well, Jeff, this was fun. I hope that your son packs the Rubik's Cube so he can make all the other campers jealous. And I know you're going to miss him. You're going to miss your son.
No, it's going to be, as you, Michael, would say, bacchanal at the Passon house.
Oh, you mean there's going to be more Passons coming
Sex.
Down the chute? Yeah.
Well, he's got other kids at home. They're not all going to camp, are they, Jeff?
The younger one's around, and the problem is, without the older one there to babysit, I'm like, Mom and I can't go out on a date now without a babysitter. It's a bummer.
Oh, boy, that is awful. Such tough first world problems. Bye, Jeff. Thanks for your help.
Bye, guys. Have a good one.
Later.
1-800-919-37. There's a lot to unpack there. I definitely want to hear about Peter crying for 2 weeks because that makes me happy.
Ugh.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about. Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.